Hi, it's Phil Hendry. It's time for episode 145 of the Phil Hendry Podcast. It's brought to you by Sherry's Berries. Spring is in the air. And aren't you happy that it's finally spring? You know, the weather's warming up. That's when the strawberries are in full bloom. And that's when the chocolate-covered strawberries are in full bloom. The strawberries just pop right out of the ground, and Sherry takes them and drenches them with chocolate. I have no idea if that's exactly how it happens, but the fact is they do get made. And, Jack, they're very, very good. And they're great as a gift or to just sit and eat yourself, to be perfectly honest with you. Sherry's berries are delicious, and they just go with everything, man. So pick up some Sherry's berries from us right here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Podcast. You get these giant-dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries for only $19.99. That's a 40% savings. Here's how you get them. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in Hendry. Berries.com, click on the microphone, and then type in Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Enormous, fresh, juicy, mouthwatering berries dipped in white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolatey topping covered with decorative swizzles. And also you can send these off to a beautiful young lady or a beautiful young man or a beautiful old lady or a beautiful old man. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm just here to tell you to buy these berries, man, because I guarantee you they're going to make somebody happy. Here's the only way to get this special $19.99 Sherry's Berries offer. Visit berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in Hendry. Got it? H-E-N-D-R-I-E. You got to see these enormous berries for yourself, and then you must eat them. Go to berries.com. Click on the microphone. Type in Hendry. Don't wait. Order now. Now, while you're ordering, I have something for you to listen to. This is episode 145. It's Art Griego, who wrote a book and came on our program to promote the book. It's called The Art of Control. The reason why I'm laughing is you're going to hear me in this bit trying to keep from laughing a number of times. I don't know. Sometimes it was just the day. Sometimes maybe it was lack of sleep or lack of food or lack of oxygen, or maybe it was just, you know, the bit was funny. But there were days that I just barely kept it together. This was one of those bits. Art came on to talk about how he controls people. One of the ways he controls his wife, for instance, is he holds back sex. Like he's some kind of a sex animal, and she's the one that's begging him for it. Let's listen to the insanity of this man, Art Griego, in episode 145 here with The Art of Control.
He has been on the Oprah Winfrey Show, Dr. Phil, Regis and Kelly. He's been interviewed by the New York Times. He's traveling the country right now giving a series of talks, and is also autographing his new book, a book called The Art of Control, and Mr. Art Griego joins us. And Art, thanks for being with us.
It's always a pleasure, Phil.
And you spent a lot of your life as a commercial airline pilot, but when you left that line of work, you went into, you went into private business. You began, you said, kind of to observe life and situations, and the result of that is this book, The Art of Control, right?
Well, it reflects my experience in what works in life and what you want done. You want to get it done with a minimum of stress, and this applies in every walk of life, marriage, where your partner has needs and you have needs, and how do you get your needs met? That's really what this book is about. It's not tough. It just takes decision-making ability.
All right, now it's funny. You mentioned the word control. When it comes to marriage, isn't that a word that's like a dirty word? Isn't that a word like a lot of married couples might have a problem with?
Well, you use the art of control as a way of simply stating your needs in everyday life. When I got with my wife, Michelle, I told her what it was that I needed out of our marriage. And at that time, I was still flying commercially, and my hours were very erratic. And I told her one of the things that I needed, and it's a very simple thing, Phil, was I wanted my dinner to be on the table when I arrived home. And it was a need that I had.
And so if the need is not met, or if the need is met...
Well, if the need is met, then your need is met. If the need is not met, and that was a specific need that I had, and in that case, what I did was, if the dinner was not there, and what I told her was, and it's just something that I wanted because I had funny hours, I wanted my dinner to be on the table, I wanted it to be piping hot, as if it had just been made. The first night I came home, that it wasn't. I could tell that it was lukewarm or it had been warmed up. So she'd made it hours before. And that's not meeting the need that I had. As if she was, well, she wasn't faking it. I mean, she made the dinner, but it wasn't piping hot the way I wanted it to be, as if it was just came out of the oven. And so that need is not met. And the art of control is then introducing, you know, what are her needs? So in that case, what I did was I withheld sex. So she was not allowed to have a sexual encounter with me because she didn't give me what I needed. And what she needs is sex. And as we all do, but what I needed was that dinner to be on the table, piping hot, with the rolls hot, as if they'd just come out of the oven.
Right. So you withheld sex.
I withheld sex because my wife, this is a tough one, but I deal with it in my book. Sex with my wife is very gratifying, but it's a little bit of an endurance test. Not an endurance test, that's the wrong way of putting it. It's not the most pleasant thing. And what I mean by that is she is very aggressive and has a tendency to, I guess, be all over you, you know. And so I enjoy sex with my wife, but I have to endure it as well. Do you understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Well, not really. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is your need was to have a piping hot meal. And her need is, so you didn't get the meal, so you withheld sex.
That is correct. And so what's happening there is this. All right, you want to have sex with me, I understand that. And I'm willing to, and let me use that word again, I'm willing to endure that. But I want my need met. And again, I said I wanted a piping hot meal as if it had just been made. And that was not to happen, so I withheld sex. And
all right, so when you withhold sex from your wife, she then begins to meet these responsibilities?
Well, you'd be amazed at how effective that is in that relationship. If she isn't getting what she wants because I'm withholding sex from her.
All right, well, there are other areas. So when you get your meals piping hot, then you're willing to have sex with her. It sounds to me you say it's something you have to endure.
No, I love my wife, and I enjoy sex with my wife, but there's an aspect to it that is not pleasant, and I don't want to get into it, but it's something that you compromise, you know, you in other words, when you get married, you decide that these are the gives and the takes of all marriage.
Okay.
And so I tell her, I want my meal piping hot, and if it isn't there, then you're not going to have sex with, you know, you're not having sex with me. I mean, you may, you know, if you want to find somebody, I don't say that, but so.
All right, let me ask you this. There are other areas in your book. You mentioned that there's a lot of this you learn from being a pilot, this idea of control.
That is right, Phil. Being a pilot, you have full control over the aircraft. You have it, your hands on the yoke. You have the lives of hundreds of people. You control that aircraft. And most of the time, that's a good thing. As in the case of the 9/11 incident, the guy at the plane's controls, that wasn't good. But nonetheless, whoever it is, whether it's a terrorist or a pilot, he has control. And so I use that control and that knowledge of control to write this book about the art of control of people.
Something that every parent is interested in is getting your kids to do the things that are expected of them. And you deal with that in the book, don't you?
Well, remember, Phil, the book is called The Art of Control. So in trying to get what I need, I give the kids what they need. Same thing with my wife. In getting what I need, I give her what she needs. My kids had a problem early on keeping their rooms clean when they were young, keeping the common areas clean, keeping their bathroom clean. And as a parent, you know, you get tired of repeating yourself.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
So, yeah, exactly. So that's where The Art of Control comes in. What I told my children... To allow me to deal with the situation, I would come home. I saw the kid's bathroom was just a mess. The toilet wasn't flushed. There were pairs of pants everywhere. And the kids were watching a video game or they're playing a video game while the bathroom that we asked them to clean wasn't clean. The toilet hasn't been flushed in days, and so on and so forth. This is where you state your needs. And it sounds a lot rougher than it is, Phil, but the kids, I'll tell you, they had a little dog. It was a Pomeranian dog that they liked. And what I did was, all right, my need to have this bathroom clean and the toilet flushed has not been met. So I picked up this dog, and it's worse than it sounds. I mean, it's not as bad as it sounds. and I hung the dog over the landing. Now, that's about a 15-foot drop. And I grabbed the dog's head as if I was going to snap its neck. Now,
Whoa.
Now, hold on for a minute, because I'm not really going to hurt that animal. But the children need to think that I am. And that's when you get your need met, to have that bathroom cleaned up and to finally, after days, have that toilet flushed.
What about traumatizing the child?
Well, you don't actually do it. I mean, all you do is exercise the art of control. That's what the art of control is. And the kids, they went in there, they cleaned it up, and...
All right, you got your needs met. What was the need of... How were their needs met? How were the children's needs met?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer to that is they don't want their dog to die, and so their need to have that dog stay alive is met for at least another 24-hour period. And I'm not going to hurt the dog, but in their mind... They've kept their dog alive for another 24 hours. Now, and you know, in their minds, they've cleaned the bathroom. Their needs are met. My needs are met. And
all right, some people might say that this method, this art of control you're talking about, is a negative reinforcement. You know what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
What do you say to that? Because, you know, the, when there isn't a constructive effort...
Well, no, Phil, this is about getting results. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of parents when you go into a supermarket, and the supermarkets are tough because that's where you're buying your food, and you see kids running everywhere. And for a lot of people, seeing children out of control in a setting like a restaurant or a supermarket puts them off their food. It's a natural reaction to see a child not being controlled by an adult, and you lose, you know, you lose your appetite. It puts you off of wanting to eat something. So what I do is if I see a child that is acting up, and it's, you know, and apparently, you know, marriages, you'd be surprised how many marriages fall apart because the wife couldn't understand the English language and didn't, you know, have a piping hot meal ready for me. So I developed the art of control as an emergency measure. So you pay for your groceries, you walk out to the car, you leave the kid there. Now, obviously, the child is going to be upset, but you don't leave for long. You can go get a pack of cigarettes. Well, I'll get a pack of cigarettes and a bottle of Seagram's or whatever it is that I need, and I'll come back.
And all right, now you're leaving the child in the market as a way of...
As a way of getting my need met, that he or she calm down, shut up, and wait until we get to the car. And the child's need is met by me coming back to get them. Now, I'm not going to leave the kid there, obviously.
Well, I'm going to say, but when you go out to get, you know, you say you leave the kid in the market, there's nothing scarier for a kid than being left in a supermarket, a small kid, all right? That isn't that unsafe in terms of a stranger.
No, because you don't leave long enough for the kid to be abducted. You're only gone 2 or 3 minutes. There's no way a guy is going to pick that kid up, get him out to a van. I don't care if the windows, you know, are spray painted black. You're not going to get the kid out to the van and do what you need to do. From what I've read about serial killers, you're not going to get the job done in the amount of time given you. I'm going out, I'm getting a pack of cigarettes, I'm getting a bottle of Irish Rose or whatever, and I'm back in time to get the kid. And yeah, they're scared, but my need has been met and their need has been met.
And again, what is their need? That they...
Well, their need, obviously, in that case, is to stay alive. But more importantly, their need is to go back to the house that feeds them for free. And I say that as a joke.
Art Griego's book is called The Art of Control, How to Deal with Children, How to Deal with a Spouse, a Wife, a Husband. In his case, it is simply a matter of communicating the need. And once yours is met, then you meet theirs. He mentioned his wife doesn't have a piping hot meal ready for him. Then he denies her sex. Once she has the piping hot meal ready for him, then he gives her sex. The children who act up in the supermarket, if they act up, then he will leave the supermarket and go and get cigarettes or whatever he said, and then come back and get the kids. So the kids thinking, I've been abandoned, but in point of fact, they haven't. They've calmed down. It's a controversial book. It's called The Art of Control. It's The Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You'll be signing copies of your book, right?
That's correct, yeah.
We have Art Griego on the line with us. He has authored the book, The Art of Control, on how to get your needs met. And it's a quid pro quo. If they don't give you something, then you don't give something in return.
Really, that's what it is, Phil. And I mentioned, because I heard you going out with the comment about my wife, I don't want it to sound negative. I enjoy and love my wife very much, but she has this need to...
Well, everybody has a need for intimacy, you know.
Well, everyone does, but... she has her need for intimacy, and
Well, let me ask you, has she ever cut you off from sex?
Well, no, she would never do that. Okay, and that's really not what we're talking about. I'm talking about how I get my need met for a piping hot meal, right?
Yeah, when you were flying, you would come home, have erratic hours.
That's correct.
And you would therefore want a piping hot meal. If it wasn't there, you wouldn't give her sex.
That is correct.
Nancy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you know, it just upsets me tremendously to hear someone talk like this. First of all, he's so typical of the airline pilot who is in charge of an airplane and thinks that he's God and control of all these people's lives. And he reminds me of a guy who thinks he can fly through a level 5 thunderstorm and come out fine because he's in charge. He's in control.
Who are you talking about, ma'am?
I'm talking about you.
Well, do you know pilots?
Oh, definitely. And
well,
the other thing is, another thing I have
you
a know, question
you know,
about.
You know airline pilots, huh?
Yeah, and I have a question about
you
this.
Do you, know airline pilots, correct?
Yes, that
you
is correct.
Are you married to one?
No, I'm
well,
not
then
married.
Well, I question how well the lady knows airline pilots.
Well, I happen to have been married to one, but let me tell you something. First of all, you have erratic hours.
Being,
I want to know how in the world
point is being
you expect
in control
to have
of your marriage.
I want to know how you
having
expect to have a
wife
piping hot meal.
Have a piping hot meal for me when she wants to crawl over
that?
Me.
I can't hear anybody. Hold on. I can't hear anybody because you're both talking over. Let the lady say what she wants to say and then respond to it.
All right.
What I'm trying to say is that, first of all, I don't know what airline he flew for, but I can't imagine that he got home on time on every flight. You know, I mean, there's so many variables.
I call her and let her know I'm on my way.
Oh, I see. So she just pops that meal in the oven right then and there, buddy. Yeah, it just,
I'm sorry. If you're angry at some airline pilot who, you know,
no.
tapped into a few stewardesses while you were waiting at home, that's your business. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say that there are certain things that I need in my marriage. If my wife wants to, forgive me for saying this, crawl all over me at night, that she needs to have a piping hot meal.
Well, I'm sorry, but what I'm saying is that your control issues are the reason why people have, I mean, first of all, you know, some of the attitudes in the cockpit, for example, attitudes like yours of people who think they're God and in control of everything are the reasons why it contributed to an accident. And I think,
you know what, I think that probably what you need to do is check yourself back into AA, because what this lady's saying is alcoholic.
Were you weren't married to a pilot, were you, ma'am?
Or,
ma'am, what's your problem with pilots? I don't get it, other than this
one. You know, all I'm saying is that your attitude, and then to take a Pomeranian, your children's dog, and hang it from the balcony?
Yes.
I mean, that's just sick behavior. That's not even...
Well, ma'am, when you have children of your own and actually are married someday, you know, come
well,
and visit me.
You know what?
And,
I happen to have a child of my own.
I doubt that.
And my child happens to be an adult, and she happens to be in her third year of med school, and I don't think she's done too darn bad.
Now, were you married to someone when she was born?
Okay, what is that supposed to mean?
Well,
how dare you?
Well, no, I mean, I'm asking the question. Well, you're insulting me. Let me ask you this much. The father of your child, were you the only woman that he was sleeping with at the time?
Okay, see, that, what you're trying to do is...
Well, she called up and insulted me. Now, I'm going to get my need met to be respected. My need is to be respected by her.
No, what I'm saying is your controlling behavior is just uncalled for.
What airline did he work for?
Sandy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I think this guy is crazy. I have 6 children, ages 12 to 24, and I would never treat my children the way that he treats his children.
That's fine. I don't know,
your children are probably afraid of you and probably were glad that you worked as many hours as you did.
No, not at all. My children do what I ask them to do, and I run a house that I want to have run the way I want it to run. And their dog stays alive. You know, look, I'm not going to kill their dog. The idea is to get the kid to believe the dog is going to be killed.
I'm not threatening the children, I'm threatening their dog. Well, the kids are probably more afraid that you're going to kill them than their dog.
No,
how do they
no.
know that you're
well,
not going to do
ma'am,
that to
I,
them?
I don't know where you qualify to make a comment like that. I mean, other than the fact that maybe you've beating your own children, but my kids have never been threatened by me. I threatened to kill their dog, that's all.
Well, I think that, you know, if it was anybody else, probably their kids would be taken away from them, because to me, that is mental abuse.
I'm glad that you've seen enough Oprah to have a real grasp of the law, but really what we're talking about here is running a home where I get a
I know how to run a home. I have a husband that works
so you say. So you say.
70 hours a week.
So you say.
So I say. I've been married for over 20 years.
I have no way of knowing whether that's true or not.
Well, you sound like you leave your child in a store.
Yes.
By themselves. And if you think a child will not be kidnapped in 2 to 3 minutes,
Well, let me ask something, Sandy. All a parent has to do is turn their head and their child can be taken. Well, since you're an expert, how long does it take you to abduct a child? Ooh, three points. I'm not saying that. 3 points for me.
So how long does it take you to abduct a child?
Have you tried abducting a child before? In the second quarter.
You've tried abducting a child before, and you know it takes more than 2 or 3 minutes?
Ma'am, the word is abduct, not a duck. Jesus H.
Okay.
Well, she's trying to talk adult.
Well,
she doesn't
I'm telling you.
The word is abduct, and I think the lady said...
Because talking to people like you.
Ma'am, I am simply saying that when a child is acting up in a store, let's say, for instance, your children, I can't do anything about that.
Exactly.
Even if it's putting me off my food and you let them run wild, that's fine.
No, I don't do that. Then you leave. If your children act up in a restaurant, you don't bring your child. You leave them with a babysitter, and you go and enjoy your own meal.
Wait a minute. If my kids act up in a restaurant, then I go home and give them to a babysitter?
No, that's not what I said.
Yeah, I said if
your children act up in a, if they have a history of acting up in a restaurant, you just don't take your children.
I'm listening.
Mr. Griego.
Well, it's been very hostile, Mr. Henry, the first few phone callers.
Well, just hold on. This is not going to get you any friends, though.
The Phil Henry Show. Extremism.
The callers are going to be hostile, and I'm talking with Art Griego, who authored The Art of Control. I think the callers are going to be hostile when you talk about your wife crawling all over you, and sex is something you have to endure.
Well, I'm trying to be as open and as honest as I can. Look, if my wife wants to put me through having sex with her, it's...
See, that if your wife's listening, has got to be demeaning to her.
No, she... Believe me, we've talked about this. If she wants me to do that, then what do I get? I get a piping hot meal, as I said. And the lady that I spoke to last half hour who claimed to hate pilots said...
Well, she didn't say she hated them.
Well, she had an obvious issue. And I would contend that the man that fathered her child was probably somebody who, shall we say, got around as any port in a storm. I don't want to, you know, have it taken out on me. I'm faithful to my wife. To much to my great distress. But the fact is, and my children the same way, I don't really hurt their dog. I just pretend as if I'm going to snap its neck to get them moving.
And this idea that when you leave a child in a supermarket and you go out and get a pack of cigarettes and a bottle of Seagram's and you come back, you're only leaving the kid for 5 minutes, you say?
No more than 5 minutes.
And you say that's not enough time for the kid to be abducted?
No. Oh, I mean, I suppose in an extreme... Look, anybody that's going to abduct your kid has to go in, see your kid, grab him, get him into the van, which I'm assuming there's got to be a van, black the windows out, restrain the kid. That's going to be 5 minutes tops. By the time I get there, I'm already looking at the lot for any dark vans because I want to make sure that nothing like that has happened. And believe me, it doesn't.
All right, so when you leave your kid in the store, I...
Can we move on, Mr. Henry, because I...
No, I want to... When you leave the store and you go to get your pack of Camel Straights and your bottle of Seagram's, now you come back, the first thing you're doing is scanning the lot for dark vans.
Yes. Then, if I don't see any, I know my kid's okay, and sure enough, there he is, sitting there in the manager's chair, you know, where that big desk they have where they're always writing something, and you say, can you tell me where the toilet paper is? And they'll go, oh, yeah. You know, that's where they're sitting. Now, I am going to be doing a signing, Phil, at the Old English Bookstore, and that will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and I just wanted people to know about that.
We'll tell them about it. We'll tell them about it.
All right, and I want people to know as well that we'll be autographing my book, and I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but if you bring something for me to autograph other than my book, that's $25 for the autograph.
I understand that, sir, but we're going to do that later on. Joe, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
Yes, good.
Hey, compliment you at least on your style of control. At least in conversations, feel like you're pretty apt at doing that. I myself am a choleric personality.
I didn't understand. I didn't understand what you just said.
All right. Well, don't worry about it.
Okay. Did you understand it, Mr.
Can I do some ground rules there, Art? If I'm going to talk, then you just kind of.
Well, I'm not talking to you.
Whatever you talk,
hold on, Joe, I'm Phil Hendry. I'm the host, so let me do the ground rules.
Okay.
We'll listen to what you're saying. And
well, Mr. Hendry, I want to talk about my book being autographed.
Wait a minute. I've got the caller on the line who wants to talk to you. Why don't you state what you want to say, Joe, and then Art will respond.
Okay, Art. How you doing? Basically, my question is, how are you going to make long-term relationships that are deeper than just, you know, what you want now, what you want in the next 5 minutes, what you want in the next year? I mean, lifelong relationships that mean something. People want to be around you for the rest of your life and love you for you, and not, you know. I don't see how you're going to do that with the way you treat people. I mean, if you can explain that to me, I would love to hear.
Well, I treat people very well, so it'll work out fine.
Well, treating people very and treating your kids the way you do, and treating your wife like she's, you know, some kind of business associate is not.
No, I'm saying for certain things. Well, look, marriage is a business proposition. You've got to be divorced a couple times to get that, but that's really what it is. Your marriage is a business corporation. When you get a divorce, what you're doing is you're selling off the corporation at a fire sale price. And so that's why divorce is not a very good thing. But I would say that my marriage is fine. I give my wife what she needs, which is regular sex with me.
Well, that's not the point. The point is not that you have a...
Wait a minute. I thought you had a question.
Well, how many times have you been married?
I thought you called in to learn from me. Now you're telling me how it is?
No, I'm not telling you how it is. I'm asking you. You told me I need to be divorced a couple of times. How many times have you been divorced?
I didn't tell you to be divorced. I said if you've been divorced.
All right. Well, I haven't been divorced, but yeah, you know, I appreciate the point. I mean,
let me ask you. Now, you got through high school, right?
I've got through college. Yes.
Okay. What college?
I'm not going to say it on the air.
Oh, it's a secret college?
No, it's not a secret college. It's just,
was it JC?
It's not a personal phone call here. I'm asking.
Is it community college?
No, it's not a community college.
All right, so you got a bachelor of something degree, right?
Business management.
A bachelor degree in business management?
Yes.
Okay. Then you know that when you say you want a piping hot meal, that's what you mean.
Because
you're managing your office.
I mean, now, love doesn't love and all the other stuff that goes along with marriage. I mean, you shouldn't control that stuff based on what you want. If something happens and she can't get it done, then you forgive her and you move on to the next day.
Well, no, you don't.
Why not?
Because I want what I want. She wants what she wants. How do we get that done? We get it done by a series of negotiations. If she wants to crawl on me and grunt every night, that's fine. But
you know what? The more you talk about sex with your wife, man, the more insulting it sounds.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to insult her, but that's it.
Well, if she understands that, that's fine. It's not really insulting to us. I mean, it's insulting to the listeners that you would talk to me like that, because my wife would probably punch me in the nose if I talked about her like
that. Well, I'm sure your wife would punch you in the nose, but that's you. Me, my wife wouldn't think of that with me.
Well, I mean, maybe you've beat her down over the years. I don't know.
Well, no, I don't touch my wife.
Well,
but then I wouldn't let a woman...
already established that you don't touch your wife.
I wouldn't let a woman slap me around the way you do, so...
Well,
Jesus, what kind of a man is that?
I never said that I let my woman slap me around.
Well, you said your wife is
going to
punch you in the nose?
If I talked about her like that, I would let her.
You know what? My wife...
I deserve it.
Let her?
That's just ridiculous.
How are you going to prevent her from doing it?
I would not talk to her like that.
No, but I mean, if
you love and respect someone, if she wants to have sex with me, I'm a lucky guy. That's awesome.
Well, okay,
Would any man want to deny a woman of sex unless you're half gay or something? I don't understand that.
Half gay?
You got married to, and that's in the. I'm not sure how much biblical base your book is on, but you know that is against the Bible to deny your spouse of having sex with someone.
I tell you what, Reverend. Tell you what, Pastor Billy.
No, you don't have to be insulting.
Well,
what are you, 5 years old?
No, but I mean, you're talking like some guy in a tent handling snakes out in the country.
No,
I'm
not.
Let me ask you a question.
When you get married, you give yourself up to that of the person.
Okay, gentlemen.
One.
No, I want to ask this guy a question.
Yeah, but I know it's getting a little contentious.
No, I want to ask this guy. How many blue suits do you own?
How many blue suits do I own?
Yes.
I don't own any blue suits.
Boy, I find that hard to believe.
Why?
Any guy that talks like this has got to have a closet full of blue suits.
I don't have any blue suits. I don't understand the point.
I think you know what I'm saying.
No, nobody knows what you're saying. This man is talking about regular, intimate relations with his wife being a good thing. You talk about your wife crawling on you and grunting every night.
Look, I tried to be as clear as I could that sex with my wife is something that is more endured than it is enjoyed. And I'll tell you.
Okay, that's you. I mean, you endure it, then that's fine. If that's the shit,
really?
That's fine.
All right, let me ask you something. I'm going to come right up.
You endure sex, I'm sure it's not great for her.
Well, all right.
You're just enduring
it. Fine, great.
You're just laying there and letting her do her thing.
Let me ask you something. All right, I'm going to come right out and tell you. So you like it with a plunger handle? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, you kind of let everybody know about that before you start talking about your wife like that.
Well, I'm just trying to be
plunger handle's a little bit different than, consensual sex with a normal person.
Well, would you enjoy something like that? Because I don't. However,
no.
I'll let her do it.
But that's not what we're talking about. Everybody that's listening to you thinking about normal sex, not plungers. That's stupid.
Well, what is normal sex to you?
Well, pretty much any position you could think about without plungers.
I could think about, huh? All right, so in other words, she's got you upside down in chains. Hey. She's got you chained to the ceiling. Is that?
You're being ridiculous.
No, I'm telling you, that's what I have to put up with. That's what I've got to put up with. So,
Wait a minute. Are you talking about
a better man than me,
chained to the ceiling?
Chained by my ankles to the ceiling. Now, if that's what she wants, that's fine. But I get a piping hot meal.
And you're talking about me letting my wife punch me in the nose, but you'll sit there and let your wife ceiling?
Hey, let me tell you something. You're some guy that lets his wife smack him around in public. I don't let that happen, at least behind closed doors. Okay? And as far as my kids go, I never hurt their dog. I pretend like I'm going to snap its neck. Big wow.
I hope that a police officer sees you interact with your kids someday, because you would be arrested real quick.
Really? What's the charge?
The charge? What, neglect? Abuse? Yeah. Mental abuse?
Okay. Mental abuse.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's no law against that, Perry Mason. God.
All right. Anyway, thank you, Joe.
Whatever.
Very good call. Are you telling me?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. And you had me have to just spill it right out. Chained from a ceiling, chained diagonally across the wall of a dungeon that she had me construct. Now you're laughing?
No, I'm not laughing. It's nothing that you want her to do?
No, I'd rather not, but...
If you get a piping hot meal, and by that you mean it... The rolls are warm as if she just baked them.
Yes, that's all I ask. And by the way, I love that guy. Hey, Joe, or whatever your name was, I never said taking a plunger handle the way you did. So, have you? Oh! Looks like somebody just let the cat out of the bag.
All right, hold on.
You want to quit?
Some days I want to quit, bud, yes. It's a Phil Hendry show.
Get in there and make me some bean dips.
Art Griego is with us. You wanted to mention your book signing is tomorrow night, Art?
That's correct, Phil. We'll be signing copies of The Art of Control, and we will be at the Old English Bookstore, and that is located in, I think it's in Santa Monica. We are going to be there tomorrow night, starting at 8 o'clock. The lineup begins at 4 p.m., and the signing will start promptly at 8 p.m. And
That's getting people in line pretty early.
That's true, but that's called The Art of Control. I want people, I want to make sure there's people in line before I show up to sign the book. Also, Phil,
You're kidding. You'd have people stand in line for 4 hours, huh?
Well, I get what I need, and then people get what they need. They get to see me and stand there and meet me, and I'll sign the book. And so that really is almost the definition of what our book is about. And I do want to let people know one more thing, Phil. If you want anything other than my book signed, all autographs are $25. We also do not want people to come through the line twice because, I guess you could say that sort of, if I could use the word, it pisses me off.
Let's look at that before we take another phone call. There's something. Someone comes through the line twice at your book signing. How do you remedy that? Your book is about The Art of Control. You don't want people coming through the line twice?
No, I do not.
How do you remedy that?
Well, that's a good one, and that calls for improvisation. But there are a lot of methods for dealing with people who are at book signings and who come through the line again to ask, I want to ask one more thing. But here's a solution, and I got this from Ben Kingsley in the movie Sexy Beast. In the movie, Ben Kingsley's character accuses an airline attendant of sexually fondling him. And when someone does come through the line again, and I have already said I don't want people coming through the line twice, I will make mention generally to the store personnel or to the security there that that person tried to touch me between my legs. And, you know, it's extreme.
Yeah, it's extreme. Why?
I'll tell you why. Because people should not come through the line twice. What that does is it makes you look pathetic, as if there's no one in line, and so people can come through twice and three times, and there's no wait.
We'll take some more phone calls, all right?
Well, I got to, you know, I got this book signing I got to do.
Go ahead, Sally.
Yes. I was just wondering what the educational background is that you have as far as, did you go to school for psychology? And secondly, is this some kind of a upbringing that you had with your parents? Did your parents have control, as you're saying, that it's important to have control? Did you grow up with that background?
Well, I grew up with a father and a mother who we saw when they chose to. They didn't want us to become too dependent upon them. And so we lived at boarding schools. A lot of times we were farmed out to relatives because if we saw too much of them, we would become dependent upon them. And hence, I learned self-reliance. My education goes through the eighth grade. I spent 4 years in a juvenile reformatory. And then I, you know, got out of, at 18, I was in for an assault. And then it was a sexual assault, as long as you're asking. And
Wait a minute. You were in for a sexual assault in the juvenile reformatory until you were 18.
That's correct. And then I went to join the Air Force, and I became an airline pilot.
Do you not think that some of the experiences that you had in the past with your parents and maybe the non-relationship that might have taken there as far as nurturing had any effect on you for the way you feel now?
Well, maybe. I know I hate my mother. If she was still alive, I would probably want to hurt her physically, but is that what you're asking?
The Phil Hendry Show. Kittens are tasty.
There's Art Griega with his book, The Art of Control. I don't know. I don't think it's available at Amazon.com. Do you? But check out Amazon.com and get a box of Sherry's Berries and buy a book that you can actually buy at Amazon.com that's actually going to help you, all right? Phil Hendry's podcast, episode 145 with Art Griego. Pick it up at philhendryshow.com.